Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. Bear with me. Hello.
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 I'm at Orslin's loading pallets and stuff, so I'll let you take over till I'm done here.
Well, you're still receiving stuff?
I'm sorry?
You're still receiving stuff?
Yes, we're talking about calcium oxalate and oxalic acid. Yes.
And to be honest, I don't really know a whole lot about it. Not enough. But I do know that somebody asked a question about, you know, what about plants with oxalic acid in it? Well, the problem with oxalic acid is it forms calcium oxalate. Now, calcium oxalate makes needle-sharp little crystals that are not soluble in water. Okay? And so they're worried about getting kidney damage from that. And I guess basically my response is, they're avoiding spinach and beet because of it. So I guess my short answer is this. If you're not suffering kidney damage, if you don't have kidney issues right now, there is so much benefits from eating beet spinach. Eat your beet spinach anyway, unless you just absolutely don't like those vegetables, all right, and you're looking for an excuse for not eating them. Okay, well, then go find something else to eat that has those same nutrients in. But beets are real good for your blood, and I forget what spinach is good for, but, you know, hey, Popeye is good to the fish because he eats his spinach, all right? Spinach is really good for you, all right? And off the top of my head, I can't tell you why it's good for you, but, you know, there's a whole lot of plants in the family, and they're all good for you. There's amaranth, there's spinach, there's quinoa, there's chia, Those are all related. They're all very good for you. And it'd be a shame to stop eating those because you're worried that oxalic acid might form calcium oxalate and give you kidney damage. All right? If you're not currently suffering from kidney problems, the answer is, you know, to flush out the oxalic acid is drink lots of water. Okay? And yes, I know calcium oxalate is not soluble by water, but, you know, if you ever go down to the stream, you'll notice that even those little rocks that are not being dissolved by the water get moved by the water and flushed out of the stream. They get, you know, they move on down the stream. All right? So the same would hold true for the calcium oxalate crystals. They would eventually get flushed out, all right? And the sooner the better, because, you know, if they get big, then you won't be able to get them out of your kidney, all right? What I wanted to find out is how the body handles calcium oxalate, because there has to be a mechanism. To be honest, folks, you know, if you're having problems with calcium, with oxalic acid, then you need to look at ways to improve your body's ability to handle it, as well as, you know, reduce your intake. You know, because there's just too many good foods that have it in it. The plant that I think that acid got named after, Oxalis, wood sorrel. You know, lots of kids eat it. It's very tasty. It adds flavor to your salad. Just be ashamed to miss out on those good nutrients because you're avoiding one poison. And, you know, that said, I read the labels at the store, and I pretty much won't eat anything that has poison in it. If I ever got to the point where I wasn't eating anything because of the poisons that I might get stuff in the grocery store, well, that'd be kind of foolish too. You know?
Right.
You gotta
choose your battle.
Say again?
You gotta choose your battle.
You gotta choose your battles. I mean, it's more important to get the nutrients than it is to avoid the poison. All right?
Well, yeah, because a lot of the nutrients will counterbalance the poison. You know, it's like we was talking
right
about last week, I think it was, or the week before, about comfrey. They say it's bad for the liver, but if you take herbs that are good for the liver, it balances out the possible side effects of comfrey.
Yeah, comfrey's not going to do so much damage to your liver that other herbs can't fix it, you know?
Right.
And there's so much benefit in comfrey. So, you know, that said, my statement is not approved of by the FDA.
What is not approved by the FDA?
Use your own judgment. My statement concerning comfrey is not approved of by the FDA. So, use your own judgment.
This podcast is not approved by the FDA.
Yes, this is true. Yep. You know, the AMA will not agree with us. They'll tell you go and you got to take our psychiatric drugs and our strange potions and chemicals in order to be cured, because nature isn't good enough. Nature didn't provide you with what you needed to be healthy. Well,
God's not good enough.
You could go there.
God doesn't know what he's doing. Man knows better.
Man knows better than, yeah. Yeah. Well, of course. You don't see God down here living with us. He doesn't know what we're going through.
No.
Probably not down here living with us, because he knows exactly what we're going through. He's going, God, what a bunch of idiots.
That's true. people don't listen to me anyway, so I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, there you go. They don't want me, no way.
So basically our point is, you know, if you have already problems with your kidneys, then you want to maybe slack off on taking things that will cause problems for your kidneys. You know, it's like if you have problems with your liver, you shouldn't drink alcohol. Alcohol is not necessarily bad for you, but too much alcohol is. Golden Seal isn't bad for you, but too much Golden Seal is. Same with Comfrey. And, well, I don't know about Comfrey, but they say it is. And this, I forgot how to pronounce it now, but the oxalic or oxalic acid.
Oh, the oxalic acid. The oxalic acid.
Yeah.
And the oxalic acid itself isn't the problem. So, you know, the answer might be just drink enough water that the oxalic acid gets flushed out of your system before it has a chance to form calcium oxalate. You know? So, if you're forming calcium oxalate, maybe you're not drinking enough water. So, just speculation. But yeah, I really would have liked to have found a solution to the calcium oxalate problem, because that would ultimately, you know, take care of the issue. So. So just curious, where are you now? Okay, I think I lost him. There are you.
There I am. Yeah, I'm clicking palette.
Okay.
So I take that means you're in Nevada.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was hoping I would make it back.
I decided to park at Woods instead of the park because they're not as likely to pull me over for parked at Woods.
Right. Oh, you mean pull you over while you're parked?
Yeah,
that's messed up. All right, let's see here. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oxalate. Okay, foods that are high in oxalate are rhubarb, spinach, beets, sweet potatoes, okra. Regular potatoes, cords, and wheat. Which
wow.
All those? Oh, and okra, which are I think I already said that. Which are all good for you?
Yeah, they're very good for you. All right.
You know, that's
I mean,
just
people
like,
avoid wheat because it's got gluten in it.
Right.
It's like, well,
it's not the wheat you need to avoid. It's the white wheat you need to avoid.
Probably. And it's probably the wheat that was processed with Monsanto Roundup in order to ripen the berries before they harvested it.
That's true, too. It's like whenever doctors, when you get kidney stones, doctors tell you to quit taking things that have calcium in them. And that's not the problem.
And then you end up with osteoporosis.
Right. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not getting enough magnesium to process the calcium.
Right.
So if the oxalates are causing kidney problems, then that means that you're not getting the balanced nutrients that those greens need in order to not cause the kidney problems. Because, I guess we need to find out what the counterpart is to the oxalate. You know, it's like Pepto-Bismol. Pepto-Bismol is one of the two minerals that you need to cure or really treat ulcers. And that mineral is Pepto-Bismuth. And the other mineral, its counterpart, is tetracycline. So if you're trying to treat your ulcers with just Pepto-Bismol, you're only putting a Band-Aid on it because it needs its counterpart, which is a tetracycline. Just like calcium's counterpart is magnesium. Chromium's counterpart is vanadium. Vanadium basically is what the body uses to create insulin. So if you have an insulin problem, you don't have enough vanadium and or chromium in your body.
Right.
So the trick is not to avoid the oxalates. The trick is to figure out what is the counterpart to the oxalates in order to have a balanced diet. All right, here comes some pellets. I'll be right back.
Let's see now. I'm looking at uwhealth.org. They're talking about oxalate. They're saying. See, I'm hoping they have an answer, but I doubt they will. Let's see now. Nutritional recommendations for addressing oxalate as a means of reducing the risk of kidney stones are some of the most complex and misunderstood. Approximately 20% of individuals who form calcium oxalate stones have hyperoxaluria, high oxalate in their urine. These individuals benefit from a reduction in high oxalate foods. However, the vast majority of those with calcium oxalate stones, those whose urine oxalate is normal, do not benefit from the reduction of high oxalate foods, as foods containing oxalate also happens to be quite beneficial for overall health. Ouch. Yeah, so they're admitting that reducing is not necessarily good. Okay, so this is a site they said it's a treatment for, but it's not providing a cure. So basically, calcium oxalate is kidney stones. So what we need to do is find a way to dissolve kidney stones. If we can dissolve kidney stones, we can take care of the kidney stone problem. Mostly people talk about, you know, reducing the chances of getting kidney stones. And from what I can see, most of their answer is stop eating this, stop eating that, stop eating the other. It's like, well, no, that's not the way to do it. Well, let's see if somebody knows how to dissolve kidney stones.
Oh, well, besides taking magnesium, there is an herb called chancapiedra that you can grow or buy the powdered herb and take that, and it'll dissolve the kidney stones in 2 weeks or less.
Oh, my.
Yeah. There's other herbs, too, but I don't know them off
the top. Here's an easy solution that somebody has. Acetic acid helps dissolve kidney stones. Guess what has acetic acid in it? And it's easy to come by.
What?
Apple cider vinegar.
Boom, shaka.
So, vinegar and oil as a salad dressing on your spinach salad.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, Stonebreaker. There's an herb called Stonebreaker. And obviously it's got its name from breaking kidney stones and gallbladder stones.
I see now somebody's selling a bottle of it. Let's see what the ingredients are.
Lemon juice.
You natural.
Lemon juice will also help dissolve kidney stones. Basil. Will help dissolve kidney stones. Celery will help dissolve kidney stones. Pomegranate. Kidney beans. And dandelion. And I didn't bring Marcus Rothkrantz's book because I thought I was going to make it back in time.
Sorry. Yeah, that's what I always think.
Yeah.
Okay, so this all natural stuff does not say what's in it. Oh, here we go. It's showing the back label. And there we go. Well, what was that herb? Chunca piedra?
Chunca piedra. Wheatgrass will also dissolve kidney stones.
Chunca piedra is the first herb in this. And then hydrangea.
Okay.
Is the second ingredient.
Horsetail. Will also dissolve kidney stones.
That's the one I use for my teeth. Celery seed.
And not the tail of a horse. It's an actual herb that grows in wet ditches like bamboo. It actually kind of looks like short, skinny bamboo.
Yeah.
It's
a reed that grows in swampy places. And kids will play with it. People sometimes use it as a decorative plant, all right?
Yeah.
And kids will play with it. They pull the sections apart, and they end up with these little short straws that are about maybe 2 inches long. And the type that you want, especially for tooth powder, is the one that has no branching, all right? Some branch, and they're more decorative when they branch. But you're looking for the one that just is a simple reed. It grows straight. And but all of them will do as far as, you know, making tooth powder goes. So I assume all of them will do as far as breaking up kidney stones. Now, the problem with this particular herb is it absorbs toxins from the environment. It's really good at remediation in swamps. Okay, so if you got polluted water, you want to grow a horsetail in it to remove the pollution, all right? But that also means that because it's real good at pulling toxins out of the soil, you don't want to eat it long term because you'll be getting those toxins, right? So you take it for about 3 weeks, and then you give your body about a week rest. And then you take it for 3 weeks, and then you rest a week. Okay? So when I can get a hold of it, I like using it for tooth powder because, you know, hey, now I have a toothpaste that I can swallow.
And it doesn't have fluoride.
And it doesn't have fluoride in it. And it has silica in it, so it helps build my tooth enamel. Imagine that. A toothpaste that actually helps you build new tooth enamel.
I wonder if it'll help you regrow your teeth.
That's, you know. Yeah, I can't quite read this label. It's too bad they didn't. They didn't print the label out. But there's three plants in it. And then there's a. They put boron, basically, in there. I'm not sure why the boron's in there. And then something that they gave a trademark name, biopurine. So, it's supposed to be a nutritional enhancement. And it's got cellulose as a filler. So,
cellulite.
Oh, no, the vegetable capsules.
We don't want
cellulite.
No cellulite.
Yeah. Well, it says zero artificial ingredients, so I guess the boron is coming from a natural source.
Boron's a mineral.
What?
Boron is a mineral.
Yes. So they're saying two vegetarian capsules. Oh, serving size, two vegetarian capsules. Let's, you know, see if I can see. Oh, I'm completely off that page. Yeah, chunk of Phaedra is the main ingredient.
Yep, chunk of Phaedra is good. Stonebreaker's good. Magnesium's good. Dandelions are good for a lot of things. Dandelions are good for the liver.
They're good for the eyeballs. They're better than carrots.
Yep. Yeah, dandelions are a superfood. And we try to kill it because it's a weed.
All right. So here the site says 10 remedies for kidney stones. All right. The number one is water.
Oh, yeah. Water.
Water. Drink lots of water. Drinking plenty of water. Now, here's the formula that our friend gave us, and I'll refrain from mentioning his name because he's kind of disassociated with us. But my mind, he'll always be a friend. All right? He says you should take your weight in pounds, divide that by two, and drink that many ounces of water a day to be properly hydrated. Now, that's not including the additional water you should drink because it's really hot out. All right? So, you know, cold winter's day, you don't really feel thirsty because you haven't done anything strenuous to make you sweat. You still need to drink that much water. So, you know, if you're one of these people running around extra wide waistband and you weigh 200 and let's say you weigh 256 pounds. All right. That means you'd need to drink 128 ounces of water. That'd be 1 gallon.
Yep.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
128. You need to drink a gallon a day. All right. I've run across people. I've asked them how much water they drink. They say, oh, I drink a lot of water. How much do you drink? I drink 2 glasses of water a day. If it's an 8-ounce glass, that's 16 ounces of water. And a lot of these people are usually overweight, so they're probably drinking about 1/8 of the amount of water they should be drinking a day, and they think it's a lot.
Right.
Okay. Now,
yeah,
same friend, the other part of that formula.
If you weigh 32 pounds, then you can get away with 16 ounces of water.
So a little kid. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, the other formula that the same friend gave concerning water is take all of the fluids that you drink through the day and pour them into a wash basin for your dishes. Is that water clean enough that you would wash your dishes in it?
Right. How clean are your dishes going to be after washing it in those ingredients?
Right, right. So, you know, I've seen people's dishwater. You know, it's kind of murky and stuff like that, but, you know.
Well, the question was, how clean are your dishes going to be if you wash your dishes in the soda and the coffee and the tea and the whatever you drink all day long besides water?
Right.
And the answer is that's how clean your body is.
Pretty much, yep. And you know, you'd basically have to wash your dishes again after washing in what most people wash in. Okay. So, you know. One of the things he points out is if you drink coffee, now you got to drink more water to flush out the coffee.
Right.
Okay. If you're drinking soda, you know, you drink a can of soda, a 16-ounce can of soda, well, you probably have to drink another 4 16-ounce glasses of, you know, another 8 8-ounce glasses of water to flush all that sugar out.
Right.
Otherwise, your innards are going to be all sticky with syrup.
So basically, if you weigh 200 pounds and you're drinking 100 ounces of water a day, but you're also drinking, say, 12 ounces of coffee in the morning, and then a 12-ounce can of soda for lunch, and then you drink a 12-ounce glass of wine for dinner, you got to add 36 ounces of water to clean those out. That being said, the wine may not be as bad, but definitely the other two.
All right. Yep. You might get away with washing your dishes in wine. I don't recommend, though, that you use wine instead of water.
Right. What I mean is you could probably get away with just adding 24 ounces of water and not 32, because the wine's not going to hurt you as bad as the soda and the coffee will. Now, coffee's somewhat healthy for you, but, you know, it's still a diuretic and it still has stuff that you're body needs to flush out. But if you're drinking your 100 ounces of water a day, you're probably going to be okay, even if you do drink a can of soda along with.
There's a whole list of things here still yet to go, you know. All right, and this is from healthline.com. So after water, they said lemon juice, basil juice. Okay, so apparently take your basil and juice it. And then apple cider vinegar. So the lemon juice is actually better than the apple cider. Celery juice, pomegranate juice. Kidney bean broth. All right. Then she has some other natural remedies, but that's for the, you know, I have to go back and read that part of the article in order to see what she's saying. Dandelion root juice, which is really good for you. It's just in general good for you. It's in the lettuce family. The lettuce family is good for your heart, your arteries, your circulatory system, you know, dandelions are good for your eyes. They've got more vitamin A than more beta carotene than your carrots do. So, let's see. Next on the list, wheatgrass juice, horsetail juice, then see your doctor. All right, so I'm going to skip down to the other natural remedies and see what she had to say in there. The following home remedies may contain ingredients that aren't already in your kitchen. You should be able to buy them from your local health food store or online. Oh. I'm sorry. Okay, so the other natural remedies were the ones listed afterwards. So dandelion root, grass. You know, I wonder if dandelion root juice is good for breaking up kidney stones. I wonder if comfrey root juice would also be good because they are very closely related.
Never know. I know cranberries are good for the kidneys and the urinary tract, so chances are they might help with kidney stones as well.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, with that oxalate issue, you know, just eat more cranberries. Cranberries are good for your kidneys. Eat more dandelions. Dandelions are good for the kidneys.
Right.
And the liver.
I know vinegar and lemon juice are good for your digestion. That you should probably add, I forget how much. You should add the vinegar to your drinking water. And it helps you, it helps balance your digestive fluids. So.
Let's see. Besides dandelion, parsley is good for your kidneys. Ginger is good for your kidneys. Garlic is good for your kidneys. Marshmallow. Common nettle. Goldenrod, turmeric, hydrangea, horsetail, we already talked about that, juniper berries, and thistles.
Right, this is another one in the lettuce family, basically.
Yeah. So if you're worried about your kidneys, whether it's oxalates or other problems, these are the herbs you want to take.
Right, so you turn around, grab other nutrient-rich foods to balance the nutrient-rich foods that have ingredients that you're worried about.
Right.
So yeah, you know, and they're saying it makes a difference, you know, if you have high oxalic acid in your blood, then yes, reducing your oxalic acid intake does help, but they also pointed out those with kidney stones who do not have high oxalic acid in their blood, it didn't make any difference.
Okay, real quick, Blog Talk Radio is going to cut us off in 5 minutes. So when I get time to upload this, you'll be able to listen to the rest of the story after they cut us off at freefoodandmedicine.org. So you'll be able to listen to past, present, and future podcasts there on the subject. Okay, carry on.
All right. Yeah, we need to work on our commercial breaks the same way.
Well, as far as commercial goes, obviously, check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com. And if you want to give us credit for it, for your purchases and whatnot, go to freefoodandmedicine.net. Marcus has a lot of free stuff, and he's got some for sale stuff as well. And I do have a commission link, and like I said, it's freefoodandmedicine.net. And we do have a Discord. You can find that at freefoodandmedicine.org. We also have a Facebook, which I'm not that active on, but Marcus Rothkranz has Facebook groups that are pretty active. And that's basically where we came up with this topic. A guy mentioned
He's in Texas. I was hoping he would call in, but I guess he wasn't able to. He was wanting Marcus Rothkranz to talk about this topic, and I guess he never does. And so I said, well, we'll give it a go on our podcast. And I was hoping maybe Marcus and Kara Rothkranz would call in, but they probably don't even know we exist. But if they do know we exist, then I don't know that they know we exist. But, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, you have communicated with him, but it's like, you know, there's probably millions of people communicate with him. It's like, yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm just one in a million. At this point, anyways, I haven't got his attention
yet. Just another fan.
Right. And we're not as, you know, professional as they are. We're just raw, uncut, organic. They do a lot of editing to their stuff to make it for beautification purposes. But we're kind of just raw, organic, uncut. So there you go.
Right. Well, let's see.
Well,
it's an advertisement.
What's that?
There's an advertisement on this Healthline article that says accurate kidney function testing from your own home.
Interesting.
So there's a group that's called Let's Get Checked, offers at-home tests for kidney function and performance. Get free shipping, medical support, and fast results from accredited labs. You know, while I don't generally trust modern medicine to treat me, they do have a large array of diagnostic tools available.
That's
for
true.
Finding out what is your problem. All right?
Maybe. A lot of times they're like, well,
no,
I don't know. They like to run tests and more tests and more tests to rack up a bill. And then they're like, well, I don't know what's wrong with you. But here's your bill.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, you got to be intelligent about it. But, you know, going and getting tested, all right? And if their answer is, well, I don't know,